Chris Luxon, our Prime Minister, is with us. Hey, Chris, we haven't spoken for a while. It's good to catch up with you again.
Good to hear from you, Peter. How you been?
Yeah, good, thank you, Chris. Thanks very much. It's been a heady time, and you've got a few of our people shaking their heads, but, you know, I'm hoping, Chris, you've got a plan going forward.
Oh, we have.
I mean, you're the Prime Minister, but your partners seem to want to steal the limelight all the time. How are you getting on with David and Winston?
Oh, look, absolutely great. It's yeah, we're a three-party coalition. We appreciate that's different from what people have experienced in the past. But welcome to MMP. That's the system that New Zealand uses to make government work, and people have voted for several times. So we're making it work, and it's working really well. I mean, we're very united on the big things that matter, which is fixing the economy, lowering inflation, which is the critical thing, the number one thing that New Zealanders want us to be focused on so they can get ahead. We've got to restore law and order and lower crime, and we also have to make sure that we deliver better health and education. So those are the big things that matter to New Zealanders. Those are the things that we're united around.
But Chumbawamba, won't you? Winston used a song, I noticed. That's one issue. Look, explain the difference then. What's the difference between co-governance and coalitions?
Well, they're quite different. I mean, coalitions are very much around us coming together in an MMP environment. We go to an election, people vote. That's our democracy. That's called liberal democracy in action. It's free and fair elections. People get to choose who they think would best represent them. And then we put form coalition governments, and that's a feature of MMP. So, you know, that is just our political system that we use here. Obviously, co-governance is about how we work together with Māori in particular. We've got a view which we've expressed, and you and I've talked about over the last 2 years. We don't think co-governance and the delivery of nationalised public services is the way forward. What we believe is models like we're doing. You know, we've basically taken $50 million before Christmas, using and partnering with iwi-led organisations, health organisations, to actually drive up immunisation rates under two-year-old young Māori kids. So, you know, that's a great example of where we want to see an improved outcome for Māori. We know that if we get those kids immunised against measles, that's a fantastic thing. We know that it's about 71%, I think 73% for Māori. We know it's about 80% for the total population, and it needs to be, frankly, at 95% for everybody. So, you know, rather than building it through a bureaucracy here in Wellington through the Māori Health Authority, what we're doing is taking that money and actually spending it with local iwi on the ground who know the community so well, have high trust in the community, and actually can drive immunisation rates up as we need to in order to keep our kids healthy.
Tēnā, well, keeping kids healthy could imply let's feed them at school. And really the big ticket items are housing and jobs, aren't they? Immunisation's
well,
one
clear
thing. I do respect that $50 million is a serious dosh of money, but that's targeting immunisation. What about Māori housing and home ownership?
Yeah, so we went to Utakura during Waitangi. I know the media didn't come with me there, but what was fantastic there is you've seen real challenges with Māori wanting to build housing, for example, on Māori land. And what we need is transportable homes, and we also need some government support to be able to do that. Well, lo and behold, after I think three or four visits from previous administrations and previous ministers, I took my ministers there, and we've ended up coming to, you know, we've actually got that past action and those houses getting built. So there's a huge opportunity, again, to work and partner with local Māori and iwi on the ground across New Zealand to actually get improved housing outcomes. That's a big part of how we want to get our housing outcomes away for Māori as well. You did reference school lunches there, Dale. I just want to be really clear because I think there's quite a lot of misinformation going on around that. We are very supportive of the school lunch program. That is going to continue under our government. But also, we are not supportive of just having wastage and not making sure that every dollar is working extremely hard to feed as many kids as we possibly can, and they desperately need it. So just because it's happened in the past in a certain way doesn't mean that there's not a better way of actually delivering and getting more value from that money. Many of your listeners, you know, some of your listeners will be paid exactly the same amount of money, and yet they'll do quite different things and achieve different levels of wealth as a result of that and what they do with their money. So, you know, what you do with the resources, how you organise, how you don't waste it in bureaucracy here in Wellington and nothing getting done for people out there across New Zealand. So that's our focus very much.
The fast track legislation makes me nervous. Mm. I think it makes many Māori nervous too, because when, well, even the name implies rushing things. And when you rush things through, sometimes you don't get them right. We're very
well. We're not
committed
right
to
today, are we?
Committed to getting looking after the environment, and we're a bit nervous about Shane's intentions here with mining. Are you a mining advocate too?
Well, I'd just be really careful about that, because again, I think just take a step back and look at what's happening in the country. You know, we want to be the most advanced small country on planet Earth. That's got to be our ambition and our goal, right? And the problem is that in order to get there, what you've got to have is modern, reliable infrastructure across the country. There are 62,000 potholes across our roads in New Zealand. We know that there are roads that need to be built. We know that there are schools that need to be built, hospitals that need to be built, all of those good things. So the challenge for us is actually saying, well, the problem is that it's taking way too long to get anything done in New Zealand, and it's costing a huge amount of money to do that. And if you look at other small advanced countries that are similar to New Zealand, like Ireland or Denmark or New South Wales or anything else, they're doing things in a much faster and a quicker way. And we know we need that infrastructure built. So our problem has been we are way too slow, abysmally slow, and we are also doing it at a huge cost. It's costing a huge amount of money. So the fast track legislation is saying, look, I'm sorry, but actually I want to improve daily lives of New Zealanders. When you put a Waikato Expressway in, lo and behold, people can do one or two extra jobs as a vet, for example, visiting farms. They can get home to their kids much quicker. That's the benefit of infrastructure.
Don't you think our caution and our commitment to environmental protection issues is what makes our nation special?
It is important, and we can do both. We can do both, Dale, and many other countries around the world manage both. We're going to continue. You know, we've made sure that all treaty provisions, all settlements, all obligations from past and future are all protected, and we're also making sure that we're going to balance and deliver great environmental protection, but also get things built. The two things are not mutually exclusive. Other countries manage both those elements, and New Zealand can do the same.
The decision not to include general treaty clauses in future legislation. Is that dissing the treaty, therefore Māori?
No, not at all. Not at all. We are honouring the treaty, and the treaty is sacrosanct and is not changing. Treaty settlements and obligations, past and future, and continued settlements are really important to this government. But what we're also saying very clearly is that we can't just have general treaty provisions just hanging in a piece of legislation that causes massive amounts of confusion as to how does it pertain to the specifics nature of that particular piece of legislation. A lot of the laws and legislation that gets written here in Parliament is very, very specific to a particular issue. What we want to see is treaty clauses that actually are saying, and the treaty has an implication on this piece of legislation because of this reason. And therefore, that gives a lot of specificity and a lot of clarity to people as to, okay, so what are the obligations under the treaty with respect and how it pertains to this piece of legislation? So that's what that's about.
Inflammatory rhetoric. Winston's pretty comfortable talking about Nazi Germany. Last year, a Māori academic likened what happened to Parihaka to a Holocaust and got dragged over the coals, including by the National Party, too. Now Winston is likening co-governance with Nazi Germany. How are you going to rein him in?
Well, I mean, my message this week has been to all political leaders, frankly. You know, inflammatory rhetoric and, you know, has been really unhelpful in New Zealand over the last few years, and it's still unhelpful. And I'm just saying to every political leader, whichever party you're from, and any politician, just be careful with your language. Language matters. You know, when Chris Hipkins refers to our government as a dictatorship after having won free and fair elections, that's not right. When Te Pāti Māori, say the government is white supremacist with a genocide agenda, and no one calls them up or out on it, that's not acceptable either. So all I'm just saying to every political leader of all parties is, look, hey, listen, that's not what New Zealanders want us to be doing. They want us to focus on them and deliver improved outcomes for them, and everyone needs to watch their language.
And finally, I know you're busy, thank you. The situation with Kāinga Ora, look, we know that there are some rank tenants, yes, but of course, if they get kicked to touch, where are they going to go? It seems also emergency housing. If you put them to the top of the queue for Kāinga Ora whare, then those at the top of the queue have to get bumped as well. So how are we going to address the issues of people already in the most desperate circumstances if we kick them to touch for being errant in their tenancies?
Well, let's be really clear what we're doing here. The vast majority of Kāinga Ora tenants are really good tenants. You know, let's be really, that's the starting point. The second thing is that actually we believe that any tenant can actually change their behaviour. They're adults, they have a choice not to abuse, threaten, be disruptive to their fellow neighbours. They have a choice to make sure that they're actually on the repayment plan for any debt that they've got with their rents. So that's all a choice. But we also are in a situation where we have 25,000 households or people wanting a state house, or families needing a state house. And there are children waking up this morning, Dale, in motel rooms. There are children waking up in the, on the living floors of living rooms of friends and family. There are children that may be in community housing providers, which is probably a good outcome. But what I'm saying is, you know, they want a shot at getting their state house as well, and their shot at the Kiwi dream. And I'm sorry, but actually, you know, how does state housing work? Well, actually, lower middle-income workers are waking up this morning, going to work, paying their tax. If that comes to the government, and we subsidise someone with a state house. My grandmother had a state house all her life. She appreciated it and was so grateful for it, treated it like her own. I mowed the lawns every week. You know, that was the reality of it. And when you've got abusive tenants, I'm sorry, they need to change their behaviour. They get warnings, they get notice, but often we'll evict them or give someone else a shot at getting a home. You know, this is a you have a right to sort of getting support when you desperately need it. We'll always have a good safety net to do that. But, man, you also have a responsibility not to abuse your neighbours. I went to South Smart Stadium last year, and I remember a lovely husband and wife came up to me, and they said, Chris, we've just got our state house. We've been on the list, we've just got one. And they wanted to show me photos of how they looked after it and decorated it, and they were, you know, very, very proud about it. But then they showed me photos and video of actually their neighbours who had actually grabbed their washing, run it in the dirt, chuck it on their balcony, and also been abusing the wife and the kids as they walk up the driveway each day to go to school, to the point the kids are fearful of going to school. Well, I'm sorry, that stops. We're not interested in that behaviour anymore. You're a New Zealander. You look after yourself. You look after, make sure you meet your responsibilities to your fellow New Zealanders and to the country. That's the deal in New Zealand, rights and responsibilities. You can't just take the rights and not take the responsibilities.
Tēnākwe. If a teenage Māori kid spat on the ground in front of you, how would you feel?
Sorry?
If a teenage Māori kid spat on the ground in front of you, how would that make you feel?
Oh, well, you want to understand what's trying to go on, and you actually want to sit down and have a proper engagement. That's what it's important. You know, what we need in this country and around the world is actually people getting around tables and having a talk and trying to understand each other and where they're coming from, and not hitting people with prejudice or stereotypes from all sides. I'm a big believer. My mum used to say to me all the time, walk across the room and talk to someone different from you and understand where they're coming from before you're understood. And that works both ways, in dialogue and debate, discussion.
Just as we've had. Thanks very much for sharing some time with us, PM. I'll catch up with you next time you're able.
Appreciate it, Alan. You have a great day.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah. See ya. It was 6:03.